Take your Bibles, please, and turn once again to the 78th Psalm. Psalm 78. We're going to be looking once again at going from question to confidence. Can God? Oh, God can. Just by any, you know, just for those of you, especially that you don't mind raising your hand, how many of you wound up with a situation this last week where you were struggling between question and confidence? Anybody? Amen. How many of you realize God is faithful?
Amen.
So let's do this. Keep this again in your Bible. And when you come to a situation where you see it in God's Word, or you come to a situation in your life where you can ever so even subtly feel your heart asking this question, can God? Take that card out and recognize that's where He wants you. In fact, when we finish with this passage this morning, next Sunday, and I'm not sure how much long after that, we're going to be going to six different areas. Now, it's not the only places where God does this, but we're going to be going to six different places where God showed Himself to be the God that can take His people from question to confidence. So once again, we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to read Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and then verse 19. So let's read, and then we will pray. Psalm 78, verse 1. The psalmist writes, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." So we've already seen this. This is the what that the psalmist is seeking to be handed down from generation to generation. Because every generation, every Christian, every season, every life, down through the centuries, the millennium, there's this struggle. Question to confidence. Lord, can I really get to the place where I say with Paul, I know whom I have believed? Amen? Let's continue. Verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Once again, let's just stop right there. How many of you have grandkids? Raise your hand. Ain't it fun?
Amen.
You give them all the candy and all the sugar you can, and you hand them back.
Amen.
And you smile as you drive away.
Amen.
But you know something? It was on my heart this last week. I'm looking at my computer screen, and there's all 12 of our grandkids. The picture that was taken this last Christmas. And it's like, oh my soul. If I could just reach into each and every one of their hearts. If I could get them to realize what they need to know. Listen to me. If you are older You can do more than celebrate the 40th anniversary of your 30th birthday. You've got something that younger people don't have. Time, decisions, recognition of what's really important. And you can take all of that to the throne of grace. And you can pray. And you can seek to encourage and inspire and teach. Amen? You know, what was great when we had all the pastors here and all the people for the Capital Connection. David Gibbs was sitting right over here, and I reminded him, I said, you remember 5.5 years ago when you were here and you looked me in the eye when I was talking about, you know, well, what can I really do? You looked me in the eye and said, you are living in the prime of your life. I reminded him of that. And once again, he looked me right in the eye and he said, you still are. Now, I don't run like I used to. I got a body and a knee replacement that reminds me of that often. But I don't have to run to be able to pray. Amen? I don't have to be able to do many things in order to intercede. Here is a man here that, however he got it, he is reminding us and getting us to think about that the greatest thing that we can do is inspire and encourage those that are coming up, that Jesus Christ is worth it. Let's continue. Verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we continue this series, that You would speak to us. Lord, help us to understand the opportunity, the responsibility that we have in this generation. Lord, may we be dead set in the center of Your will. Lord, help us to understand that in trusting You, we recognize that we can do more, we can be more, then we see ourselves in the flesh. So Lord, may we be encouraged by Your word this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the psalmist just reminded us in these last couple of verses this, that there is an older crowd. There are older people. They didn't set their hearts to seek the Lord. You know, have you been listening to some people, some older people on television lately in the news that they spew and spout something and you think, where in the world did they get that? You ever heard any people like that? Some of them are called newscasters. But it's like, my soul, where did you learn that? It's because we've got an enemy that has been busy with mankind since the garden. Amen? So for that reason, we get into God's Word. And hopefully by God's grace, not only can we teach younger people, thus saith the Lord, you can realize that God can, but we also need to recognize this. There are other voices out there. We need to draw younger minds away from attention there. There are people out there that have embraced wickedness. They have embraced wicked thinking. They have embraced wicked ways. They have embraced godlessness. Am I right? We need to go and get some of that coffee. Brad, would you go make about 46 cups? No, I'm just kidding. Look at verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God? How many of you have heard so-called scientists on television? Can God do that? No! And then there are those that we heard in time past, they're finding out, yes, God can. And God meant His word. Amen? Now this is what we've seen so far from last week. We looked at what will open our eyes. There were two things. Creation opens the eyes. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And changed lives open eyes. There was the maniac at Gadara, Mark 5. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. God can do these things. Now look, while you're sitting there this morning, I want you to do this. Recognize that God's word is open. This is important. What we need to recognize is we are being challenged by the God of the word. He is looking into our hearts. We ought to be looking to Him in worship, in the fear of the Lord, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. And we need to be recognizing that God can, God will, because we see it in His Word. Amen? Folks, this is something we can't let go of. This is 2020. This is us for such a time as this. We thought about the condition of the people. The condition of the people that we were looking at. Look at verse 19, Psalm 78. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Ha! Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Now think about it. These people saw the witness, they witnessed the miracles of God, or they heard it from their parents or grandparents. Now, we stop and think of what God has done in time past. We're looking at, Lord willing, having that citywide revival starting in the middle of October, October 18th. Has God done revival in time past? Say amen.
Amen.
Absolutely He has. Question. Has God changed? Then who has? We wind up listening, and God's word is clear on this. In the last days, perilous times shall come. But never does it say, and God says, I just can't do as much as I used to. Never. Never. God hasn't changed. We have. And I remind you once again, we have a complete salvation in Christ. It is complete. It is thorough. We are new creatures in Christ. Yes, we have a flesh. But God says we can overcome it. We don't have to sin. Here's the challenge. The enemy has one thing. His lies. And they are subtle, and they are many, and He's constantly feeding them to us. And for that reason, we struggle, we doubt, and this is what happens. Instead of this, we stumble about in this. Can God? Even to the point where, like Israel, you know, can God really do that? Oh, come on. Can God bring revival? Can God, listen, you know how much Paul believed God could do something? Paul said, I'm going to Rome. You talk about taking the gospel someplace, I'm taking it right to the seat of power in Rome. And he did. And though I doubt if Caesar, Augustus, or whoever, you know, all of them, I doubt if any of them got saved. Maybe there were a couple. I don't know. But Christ, the gospel of Christ, made it into Caesar's household. We know that. The Bible tells us that. Here were people that called themselves by God's name, and rightly so. They should have trusted the Lord without reservation, but they seemed oblivious to the power of God. That's why we take the Word of God and we ask ourselves, are we in that place where ever so subtly, listen to me now, ever so subtly in our hearts, I don't care what it is, we are asking, can God really do that? They were forgetful. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them. We forget. We forget. I have a tough time with names. I praise God I can remember my wife's name most of the time. No. But you know, names have always been hard for me. And we can kind of sometimes start laughing about that. And sometimes it's not a laughing matter. When you see somebody going into Alzheimer's or dementia, my wife and I were at the Reagan Library this last week. By the way, if you're on Facebook, check out my page. It was such a joy. It's been 30 years, but we got to see once again the portrait, the double portrait, actually, that my mom did of the Reagans. It was absolutely outstanding. It was such a wonderful day for us. It was great. But we laugh about, you know, forgetfulness, and then we look at what President Reagan went through, and we think of friends that we have, what they've gone through. But the greatest tragedy is when God's people who have Bibles forget that God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Catch yourself sometime. I have with me asking God to do something He's already promised that He'll do. Lord, please be with us this day. You know, it's amazing. We just kind of flippantly pray that, and it's like, I am. Lord, guide me. I am. Listen, we ought to come to God with a thankful heart for all that He has promised us. Amen? Israel forgot. Not only did they forget, but they were foolish in asking, can God? You're going to ask the Creator of the universe who keeps the heavens going? God, can you really do this? Now you stop and think about it. It's silly. It's foolish. But how many times have I done that? How many times have we done that? How many times have we shortened God's arm? We have the God of the universe in this room right now. Do we believe that? I say again, our Savior is as much on this earth right now as He was 2,000 years ago in Galilee. Because He has said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His Spirit indwells His children. Now, you might think, well, preacher, we already know this. Let me explain something. We know it thoroughly when it guides our manner of life. That's when we truly know it. So this is the point where we got to, the condition of the people. Now we look at the character of their God. These people that said, can God? Look at verse 5, if you would please. We see, first of all, when it comes to the character of God, His promises. Verse 5, for He, God, established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Again, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare them to their children. Why? This is the whole reason why. That they might set their hope in God. I want my kids, I want my grandkids to be able to say with their great-grandparents, I know whom I have believed. Now, how many of you, you might say, you know what, preacher? There's times I struggle at times, but how many of you, honestly, you could look others in the eye and you could say, hey, I know whom I have believed. Say amen. Amen. We want our grandkids and our kids to say the same thing, don't we? If we don't give a big hearty amen about that, we've got a problem. And now my watch is asking me if I'm okay. I'm fine. I did not. Yeah, this is what I envisioned. The thing winds up calling in the cavalry, and I'm preaching, and all of a sudden, here come anyway. I did, by the way, that's happened one time. We had a thing on the security system here. We had a thing where you could push a button, and it would automatically call the police because you've hit the panic button. Twice in one day, I had it in my pocket, and I accidentally hit that. We're going out, and the sheriff's department is coming in. Finally, I said, you know, I'm putting this thing away. This is crazy. Israel had seen God keep His word time and time again. He was always faithful to do what He promised He would do. Again, God hasn't changed. Not only did He write God's word, He keeps what He wrote. Everything God has promised, He will do. There are some verses that bear this. We've been on Wednesday night, we just finished with the first section of Abraham out of Hebrews 11. Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Praise God. That's why, you know, you've got Paul telling Titus, in hope of eternal life, Titus chapter 1, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God didn't create and go, now what am I going to tell these people? What am I going to tell them? He already knew. Christ Himself was slain before the foundation of the world. Explain that, preacher. I can't. There are some things I look at God's Word and I don't know, but I do know this. My God does not frustrate us. He has told us what we need to know. And I am satisfied with that. There was His promises. There was His performance. Look at verse 12, Psalm 78. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Israel enjoyed the presence of Almighty God. You know, stop and think about this. Here's a people, they're out in the desert. They see Him part the Red Sea. He drops manna every day for 40 years to feed them. They see God defeat their enemies. They had the thrill of seeing His glory as He came down upon the tabernacle. They saw the fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. God proved Himself time and time again. Come on, we need to wake up here. How many of you have ever had a prayer answered by God? Raise your hand. Amen. Right? Then why do we struggle? See, here it is. We have to humble ourselves to this point. Now, seriously. We have to humble ourselves to this point. We have a flesh. And daily, we need to take on the armor of God. We need to take up the shield of faith. We need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have a battle on our hands. And by the way, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So it's not like we take it up and we go, oh! No, it's praise God. We have His Word. We have the faith that comes by His Word. They also saw this. They saw His power. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His, what? What's the word? Strength. And His wonderful works that He hath done. We all said, yep, He's answered a prayer. That's right. Praise God. You got that right. He'll answer them again. Now see, this is, you know, we talk about the word hope. The word hope in the Bible is a sure thing. We have our hope in Christ. The hope that we have in Christ keeps us going even with the reversals that we might see in this world. Nobody wants to have wickedness in high places, right? Nobody wants to hear the perversion that's spewing out of certain places, be it in entertainment or government or in education. Nobody likes that. But again, like somebody said, it's not original with me. The world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. And we have the answer. And He has called us simply to be faithful. Amen? Amen. There's His power, and He's still powerful. It'll never stop. It'll never quit. There is His power. There's also His patience. Look at verse 38. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. You ever been in a situation where you could have really been in a world of hurt? My dad had a pickup truck. 1963 three-quarter ton Dodge. That's where I got the passion. That's why my heart bleeds Mopar. Dodge three-quarter ton. 225 slant six, four-speed granny. How many of you remember those good vehicles? How many of you still driving one? So, one night, and seriously, she was just a friend, please believe me, just a friend. There's a girl down the street said, hey, let's go mud wamping. Now, I don't know what you call it, but we called it mud wamping. There was a field down Roscoe Boulevard there in Canoga Park, and we went ripping into the field, and all of a sudden, phew, that truck went axle into, you know, up to the axles in mud. I tried to get it out. I couldn't for the life of me. We wound up walking to a friend of hers house. This friend took us to my house. I got on the phone with my best friend from high school and said, get over here! I'm in trouble! My dad's truck is... My sister hears me. He comes over and gets me. We got to get that truck out. Meanwhile, my sister Randy goes to my parents' bedroom. Tim, I went by my middle name then, Tim got the truck stuck out in a field. So my dad, 6'2", Marine, wasn't happy. The next day, he wound up having to drive the old Buick to work. Got back later on, had a friend of mine come in. His dad was a plumber as well. He said, oh, I'll get you out. He pulled that truck in. It got stuck. We got a Chevy and a Dodge sitting side by side. Stuck as all get out. Dad comes, he gets both trucks out. We wind up driving home, and I'm thinking, I am dead. This is it. You know, here lies Michael Timothy Rogers. You know, we get out of the truck. He pauses. He looks down and he looks at me and he says, you know something? I did some stupid things when I was your age too. And he walked into the house. And I am praising the Lord that my dad is a patient guy. But how many of you are glad God is patient as well? You know, you stop and think about all that Israel did in the wilderness. And all we have done before in living out months, if not years, if not decades, instead of this, we live this. And sometimes it gets to be so bad, we are absolutely dead in our tracks when it comes to doing His will. It doesn't need to be. But you know something? God is faithful. And if He has said He'd be patient, He's patient. And I am so glad, for His patience. So that brings us to this, the challenge for today. Look at verse 6. That the generation to come might know them. Even the generation which should be born, we read this already, we're going to read it again, who should arise and declare them to their children. Here it is. This is what's needed for such a time as this. That they might set their hope in God. Other people might not, but we need to. There's not a person in here that can point heavenward and say, no, He let me down. Has God ever let you down? But you know, I've kind of hesitated in stepping out in faith in some things. So you know what? I just decided I'm going to enjoy life over here. I'm gonna have some fun. And when God asks me to be a witness to someone, if God asks me to step out in faith in something, well, I'll just tell you know, Lord, I'm just not there. But you could be. I could be. When I was out on visitation yesterday, I wanted to smack myself up the side of the head. I went to visit somebody and it looked like they weren't home. Drove away, and God said, why didn't you talk to the family next door? They were outside. Yeah, but God, you got to understand, I'm already... This actually happened. Lord, I'm on my way home now. Yeah, but you can turn around. Well, Lord, I got some things I got to do at home. No, you serve me. And I tell you what, God wasn't pleased with me. And that wasn't, you know, I wasn't pleased with me either. See, we need to set our hope in God. There's not a day that goes by where we are not challenged and we need to go from question to confidence. To go from, can God? God can. Can God bring revival? Could God save the governor of California? Then let's write him and tell him about our gospel. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I thought, you know what? I'm gonna write him. So, day before yesterday, I wrote Rush Limbaugh. I said, I don't know if you're listening to your brother, you know, but I hope and pray that you are. He knows the Lord. There's people all over there. Next door neighbors. Can I really do that? Yeah. Do we get scared sometimes? Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. The flesh we keep dealing with. So see, here's the challenge. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Now, you know, we look in time past, and praise God, I see my dad, you know, was such a godly man. My mom was such a godly woman. You knew her for the time that she was here. But there's others, no, they stiff-armed the Lord. But Granny Phillips, my mom's mom, oh, mercy, what a praying woman. But there are others, they didn't. Listen, we need to keep this going. With the character of our God, we need to recognize the challenge for today. What are we going to do with the information that we read from God's Word? Now, these are not the stories, these are not the places that we're going to be going to, and I'm not going to take the time this morning to read them. You can look them up. But you know, you stop and consider this. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel wound up in the lion's den. Here was a man, a king. Can Daniel's God save him? And in the morning, he got his answer from Daniel. O king, live forever. God can. Then there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king saying, hey, we're going to toss you into the fiery furnace. Let's just see what your God can do there. They came out later on and they said, oh yeah, he can. In fact, he joined us. There were four in there. There's the widow at Zarephath. Fascinating story. Can God? The prophet comes to her and says, listen, make me some food first. You do that and you will eat while others starve. She did. God can. There was the disciples on the ship. The sea started acting up. Here came Christ. Be not afraid, it is I. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. He went into the ship. The wind ceased. Can God? God can. In Mark chapter 11, the Lord said this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. John chapter 14, the Lord is speaking to the disciples and he says, hey, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Time and again, we're going to be challenged, we're going to be mocked, and then there are some that are going to be honestly looking at us and looking for an answer and asking, can God? Now, when God puts you in that situation that is so incredibly difficult, you might be thinking, God, did I make you upset with me? No. He's helping you because you're going to see His faithfulness. He's helping you later on to be able to look people in the eye so that you can tell them with all assurance, God can. God can. Amen. Now, in closing, let me ask you something. If you had complete trust in God, I mean that if He would do anything, you knew He would do it. Whatever it is that He asked you of you, you knew He can do it through you. What would you do? Would you be a greater testimony of His grace? Would you give the gospel out more? Would you help other people trust Him? You see, for such a time as this, this being the theme this year of our church, for such a time as this, God needs every available local fellowship to be able to say with confidence, God can. That means every person, in absolute surrender to God, goes from question to confidence. Going through trials is no fun. There are people that are in this building right now that are going through trials. There are people that weren't able to make it to church this morning because they're going through trials. You might have situations that are looking at you right now. It's a trial. And you're asking, honestly, can God? How many of you say, you know what? It'd be great if our church could come in prayer and say in unison, no matter what, God can. Amen? Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that now You would speak to each and every one of us about that which You have desired us to face in our lives, no matter what it might be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about, a couple of questions and then we'll be done. First of all, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here? The fact of the matter is, you don't have the salvation question settled in your heart. You're not sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. You haven't gotten it settled. Friend, you need to get it settled. Now, I'm not going to chase you down. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But please, would you let me pray for you? Is there anyone here that says, I don't know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I would like to know. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you slip your hand up right where you're at? I want to pray for you. Anybody at all here? Anyone? All right. Praise God, I hope and pray everybody here knows. But let me ask you this. And believe me, this is without judging because I've been there. I battle it just like you, and praise God, I rejoice in the promises we have in God's Word. But I want to ask you, how many of you, right now, you have a situation in your life where you're asking, can God? Slip your hand up right where you're at. Yes. Yeah. You are not alone. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Believe me, there's many here. And you know something? God gives us these opportunities. He gives them so that we can, when we're alone, meditating, reading His Word, praying, we can learn. God can. Let's stand for prayer.